This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Oh, man. Song is so good. Hello, After Buzzers. Welcome to the People vs. O.J. Simpson American Crime Story After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Subscribe to our channel, first of all, before we get started. Subscribe to our channel. Check out all the other shows that we have. Check us out on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Comment. We want to know what you guys think. And we're going to be covering season 1, episode 1, titled The Ashes of Tragedy. My name's Pegarad. You can find me on Twitter at Pegarad. I'm joined with a stellar group of human beings today. Shaka?
I'm Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter at Shaka Strong, Instagram as well.
I'm Stephanie Georgie. You can follow me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie and on Instagram at TheStephanieGeorgie.
Beautiful. I'm Chris Howard. You can follow me at Chris Howard Live, and you can also find me at LegendaryLivingDaily.com.
Awesome. So, wow. Okay. Initial thoughts. Wow. Were you guys taken back? Were you taken down memory lane? Because I was.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was just surprised by what I didn't know. I thought I really knew this case. I felt like I had watched it, and I was like, I had no idea what was going on.
Mm-hmm. I was just excited and anticipating what it was going to be like, if it was going to feel real, or if I wasn't going to feel connected, but I definitely do. And I think as much as I wasn't aware of the case when it was happening, the trial, excuse me, I did feel involved, and it did remind me of so much that was going on then.
I think a lot of people were really concerned about how it was going to hit. Mm-hmm. You know, how mm-hmm. it was going to represent the case. I know I saw the other day the Goldmans, the father, Ron Goldman, his dad was on TV, and he was saying, God, this is all this generation is going to know of this. Mm-hmm. Because they weren't around then, so I sure hope they represent this in the right way. Mm-hmm. And I think he'd be proud of what's being put out there right now.
For me, it was the first time I watched a show where it felt familiar. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was replaying a part of my own life, even though I was a young kid when this was happening. But it just back so many memories. I mean, actually, speaking of it, June 17th is my birthday. Mm-hmm. 1994, my 9th birthday, I remember watching the White Bronco chase. And it just starting from that point, it was such a huge part of, I don't know, my 9th year of life. Mm-hmm. But I remember it so strongly. So did it have that same connection for you guys, too?
Yeah, where were you?
Well, I remembered the chase, and I thought I remembered the chase, and I thought I remembered the trial. But then, as I'm watching, I cut out so many details. I thought he was, you know, there was a murder, and I thought he was in the chase the next day, and I thought there was a trial a week later.
Right.
So I just realized there were so many missing pieces for me.
Absolutely. I remember specifically what channel it was on. It was on channel 18, the channel I didn't like to watch. and I also remember just OJ looking down and then mm-hmm. me being introduced to like the court system, like mm-hmm. trial. Yeah. I'm like, oh, what is that? And then at that point, a crime happened, so now they have to figure out who was right, who was wrong, you know, the very basic of, how you introduced to someone.
And I remember having new choices. I remember you could, every channel, like I had no cartoons, there was nothing.
Really?
There was
just
something. Yeah. When it was only, I think that's more specifically what I remember is just not nothing. Being able to find something
and
to
I had
watch.
No cable, so that was it.
Yeah, exactly.
This was probably the way a lot of people were introduced to the judicial system mm-hmm. in the United States of America, because I think this was pre-Judge mm-hmm. Judy.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely.
Yeah, this was pre all these modern day inside the courtroom shows, so this was one of the first first times. And I was probably the oldest, I have to admit. I'm 46 years old today, so I was...
Today?
Not today. Oh. but I was, I remember, I think I was in Florida at the time, and I just had to, I was working at Club Med, but I'd sneak away just to watch this thing. So I watched the whole thing pan out, and it seems so familiar. Mm-hmm. All the little details.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this show is a spinoff of American Horror Story, which was Ryan Murphy's and Brad Falchuk's other show. Mm-hmm. Huge hit. Mm-hmm. I cover the after show, actually, for that one, too.
Oh, awesome.
And he directed the first episode. Mm-hmm. And you can tell with his camera movements. Are you guys familiar with Ryan?
Yeah.
So he, just the movement of how, I don't know if you guys noticed, but with him getting out of the car at the funeral and that camera movement, and it's just so mm-hmm. Ryan Murphy, so visual. So I really enjoyed that aspect
Very
of
well
it.
Done.
Very well done.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the setting. So it takes place, obviously,
in Brentwood,
Stephanie,
California.
Talk about that.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was just excited because I currently work in Brentwood, and it's so weird to hear these streets. For instance, set when there's a part which we'll bring up in a moment, where one of the witnesses has a run-in with him on San Vicente and Bundy. A street I drive on every single day, and Bundy is something that I, you know, where I walk to. And I was just watching the intersection, and I can't believe that this community that I'm very familiar with now had something like this happen.
Yeah,
that's crazy. That's crazy dramatic. And you know how you see at the funeral, people we're very familiar with, which is I think why we're all identifying with this story a little bit now. You know, we see Kris Jenner, we see what was Faye's last name?
Faye Resnick.
That's all true. I mean, I were somewhere where the community sees each other and they're like, oh, hey, how's it going? It's very close.
Yeah.
Very close. And then to have a double homicide by, you know, from two people or from one person that everyone was super familiar with is just out of control.
It was wild. I remember driving to Bundy right after it happened, and you know, obviously mm-hmm. the tourists were flooding in, tour buses wanted to go by that area, mm-hmm. so I remember it was a really busy place, mm-hmm. but there was the interest was peaked so much.
Yeah, it's so like surreal, because like for me growing up, it was such a far away thing. It was not, I'm from Miami, so it was like not mm-hmm. in my world, and now I'm like looking at the streets and I'm seeing familiar places. It's just really bizarre, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, and just so everyone knows, Brentwood is a little city the west of the 405, if you're familiar with our freeways, and it's really close to Santa Monica, really close to the beach, a beautiful area, nice restaurants, nice places.
Upscale.
And where the majority of like our A-list actors live. So you can imagine, you know, that first line, I loved it.
Marcia Clark.
She says, there's no murders in Brentwood. And she's not lying. I bet you that was a line that was really said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and they hit it again also with the detective later. Two homicides in Brentwood, there's going to be media.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to come.
Pretty wild. What did you guys think about the opening with the whole Rodney King thing where they opened mm-hmm. up with the riots previously and setting the frame that way?
It was so interesting because mm-hmm. you know, growing up as a kid, you don't have a framework for what things are happening in.
Right.
And I didn't even understand, as I was watching it, why are they opening with this? And then mm-hmm. shortly thereafter, I realized they're framing the scene.
Absolutely.
This was, you know, people were very hostile towards LAPD and minorities. And this was almost kind of setting up the vindication for
Absolutely.
What may have gone on before.
That's what we see happening across the country on the other side today.
Today.
You know, when you're
almost crazy.
It's 22 years later.
Right. I think it sets us up how we're supposed to feel, which...
Yeah.
I'm surprised because I remember just even in the beginning, the way that Marcia was so passionate about this case, I don't know why I said it. It's not even like I lived through it. And I was like, yeah, but the same way she's passionate about this, everyone else was passionate about Rodney King, but we did nothing about it.
Exactly, yeah.
And so I think that this show is going to bring a lot of feelings, which I also have to say, we're going to do our best to be very neutral. And mind you, we're just recapping this episode. But it's intense, and it's a definitely passionate story. And I think the best part is that it's true.
Yeah.
So... You know, how do you not put your feelings in it?
Speaking of feelings, you know, for me, I'm looking at this, and you know, our dear friend Shaka over here is also doing Making a Murderer, doing the after show of mm-hmm. that right now, and so I think both of these shows are just giving us insight into the judicial system and the process.
Oh, my gosh.
There's so much to unpack from this.
The fame, the money. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What
you
money can
it.
Buy
mm-hmm.
you. What the And on the flip side of the coin, in the other after show, it's like, you know, for Making a Murderer right now, Stephen Avery's on the other side of poverty.
Yeah.
And you look at what, you know, one guy that
what
a lot
defense
of people
can get
off,
in one way and
yes,
what can,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah,
and
it
we're
is.
Still
Absolutely.
Dealing with that today,
Absolutely.
You know.
Big time.
So let's quickly talk about the cast. Wow, wow, wow. John Travolta coming back to TV series since Welcome Back, Kotter in 1975.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the same character.
No, not the same at all. What'd you guys think about his Robert Shapiro look? His
So good. I mean, I thought all the actors were amazing because I thought to myself, how am I going to be invested? I mean, Ross is there.
Right.
How am I going to invest from Friends? Yeah.
How am I going to invest myself in the Absolutely. World of this? And they were so incredible, I just got lost in it.
In fact, kudos to those actors who, you know, essentially have this view of themselves or how we see them. And they, I mean, he changed it.
Sarah Paulson, my gosh, right?
Like, I mean, Pega and I couldn't believe how well David Schwimmer did as Robert Kardashian.
He really moved me. I got goosebumps a couple times.
Likewise. Yeah.
Froze.
And I told you before the show that I had the opportunity to meet with Robert Shapiro about a month ago about a different legal case with something that I'm dealing with my company. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you that, you know, the pursed lips of John Travolta, I mean, he's really got the character down. Robert Shapiro's a lot thinner these days. Something, it looks like, you know, health has taken a toll on him or something's taken a toll on him. And when you look at the types of things he deals with, it's not surprising.
Right.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, after sitting with Robert Shapiro and having a conversation with him and seeing John Travolta on TV, I thought he nailed it. He did pretty darn well. Yeah.
We have Courtney B. Vance as Johnny Cochran.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I thought he embodied him.
Looks just like him.
Right.
And then we have, obviously, Cuba Gooding Jr. as O.J.
The juice. Yeah.
I thought that was the harder role because, like, O.J. You're very familiar with.
Right.
So Cuba doesn't necessarily look like O.J. exactly.
It's a little smaller, isn't it? Yeah. Smaller framed.
I think they focused on the complexion.
Exactly. But after the first 15 minutes, I was invested. So,
Likewise.
Yeah. I thought he did a good job as well. Yeah, and we want to know what you guys think as well. Here we have a hashtag, don't we?
Oh yes, we do.
Yeah,
I'm watching my Twitter. I want to see this feed go crazy.
He's watching his Twitter, and we're also doing a hashtag for the show. It's going to be hashtag ABTVACS American Crime Story. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you want to hear more about something or if you don't want to hear about something.
How do you like the portrayals?
Exactly. You know? Anything that's said is going to be appreciated and accepted. So
tweet us.
Tweet us.
We're waiting.
So let's get into the actual episode. So we, you know, start with the bodies being found by the dog. Mm-hmm. And
you forget, I think, as a person, how serious that is. I remember the story, and I don't think I've ever given it seriousness until I saw her body there where, whoa, someone was murdered.
Yeah.
Two people were murdered.
And
one of them being his ex-wife.
As well.
Almost decapitated.
Almost decapitated.
Yeah, it's become more about OJ rather than the actual murders of, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what's important, I think, as I was reading articles about the show, is to keep in mind that these two people lost their lives.
Yes.
You know, this show can be publicized and it could be about the actors and blah, blah.
And you don't want it to desensitize.
Exactly. So we got to remember the two lives that were lost.
And I think the gravitas of it, because I mean, right now, you know, like Denise Brown has become a speaker. She's got a speaker's agency right now. And I'm a professional speaker, so I really I admire that. And I'm so proud to see the direction that she's gone. But I had reached out to her and said, hey, do you, what? And she's like, you know what? I lived through it once. I don't want to live through this again. So we got to think of there's families that have people that they've lost, the Goldmans that we saw on TV. I mean, you know, and once again, I think they can be proud of the way things are being presented because I think it's a realistic light of what we're seeing, you know.
Absolutely. And
it appears to be.
It hit home for me when they said Ron Goldman, 25-year-old actor, waiter. I'm thinking to myself, you know, here I am. I've moved to LA to become an actor.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I knew about the story, I was like a kid, but now I'm like over 25 and going, oh my God, 25 is so young.
Yeah,
like,
young.
I cannot imagine, you know, like having to deal with that and, you know, his family and.
And a serving job here in Los Angeles, let me tell you.
Yeah, you know.
You can all relate.
You know, we've all been in that mode to see that your life could be struck down in that way. It's just, yeah.
So this was 2 years after the looting and after the riots of Rodney King. It provides such a powerful context for this.
And in L.A.,
it does. I mean, the riots, everyone was emotional. I have personal friends who grew up in Los Angeles who told me, I mean, you had to be careful where you were walking. I had one question once about, there's a street here in L.A., it's on Jefferson, and there's a Jack in the Box that has, like, those... what is it? What the banks have, you know? And I'm like, what happened? She's like, well, during the riots, like, people stayed getting murdered on both corners of that street. where the Popeyes is and where the Jack in the Box is. And it was just one of those hot spots. And I can't imagine being that age and not being able to walk around. And this we're not just talking about South Central and Compton. This is the better part of like Los Angeles, with the exception of Brentwood, of course. Yeah. But it was all happening, and people were very sensitive. And mind you, I feel like our generation in this era, we don't speak out as much. We don't have riots.
Yeah.
So as much as we may think we know what it might have felt like or looked like, we don't.
Yeah.
It's like when you look at it, though, in terms of the split on racial divides, in terms of, who was supporting OJ and who wasn't, it was, somehow they successfully managed to make it about more than OJ.
Right.
They made it about
race.
Black versus white. Mm-hmm. And that's right from the beginning, we see that. Unfortunately, we're seeing that in other parts of the country. It's utterly ridiculous that in today's day and age that even be an issue. But we're going to see that play out through the entire series, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about OJ. So OJ's reaction to his ex-wife of 7 years being murdered. What did you guys think?
It was unsettling.
Well, I think the reaction was that strange.
Sorry. How old was she when she was murdered?
Oh, we got a question.
How old was Nicole when she was murdered?
Let's look that up.
It sounded because like she was
dating a 25-year-old guy. Like, think about that. Like, a struggling actor waiter just so happens to hook up with someone who used to date a really famous celebrity.
Well, we don't know that they were hooking up, right?
Right.
We're not exactly sure
not
on that.
Not sure, right. But what I can say as far as the age difference goes, I work in a place where I can almost guarantee you every Wednesday and Thursday of cougars.
Yeah, exactly.
Cougars
that
come
is
in.
A real thing.
Yeah. I'm sorry, and no offense, that's not all of this community, but there are a lot of marriages with money, a lot of people who get divorced, and there are a lot of beautiful young men out here.
Yeah, and more power to her. You know, people's lives are people's lives.
Right.
That part was just normal, and
I'm not surprised at all. I think that's what my reaction was for you. You're like, oh my gosh, that age, being an actor, and then
that. Yeah, I was just like, oh
you
my
just
God.
Don't think that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would personally wouldn't even throw her. I wouldn't disparage her memory, that's not what you.
I'm
meant.
Not saying. I'm
no,
just
I
saying
know, but
that part.
I want to be clear that here's a woman that was, whether it was romantic or it wasn't. Who cares?
Right.
Other than the person who maybe did this, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But I thought the reaction to me was somewhat normal. But I did wonder in that moment how true the show is portraying what actually happened. Because I just don't know. I don't know those details.
Mm-hmm.
So do any of you know how close they're painting?
We did watch one of the videos of the news. The footage that we have, that first news guy, the journalist, capture
when
OJ's
he's being
conversation
handcuffed.
When he's being handcuffed when he shouldn't have been. That was completely that was almost done
spot on
exactly. Yeah. So I want to say anything that was shown to the public, they mimicked exactly for the sake of the show.
Yeah.
As far as anything else,
but
everything
did
that
they
I
interview
saw,
those officers
she was,
and find out what his reaction was.
Yeah. Side note: Nicole was 35 when she died.
Okay, yeah. 10 years.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It was almost. I'll tell you, just from my memories, it was almost verbatim. I mean, the moment we saw the blood on the dog's paws, I remember.
So that happened.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. That, all of that stuff came out in trial. Right down to it. Except for when he takes a lie detector test and you see that he passes he fails the lie detector test miserably.
A -24.
Have you guys ever taken a polygraph?
No.
Thankfully.
Haven't had to.
Yeah, no, I've taken a polygraph willingly, and they're a bitch to excuse my language, but they're a bitch to pass. You can't fool the lie detector.
Yeah.
I understand that you could be in a stress state, which could cause an adverse reaction, but I'm telling you, if somebody fails that badly, there's a reason.
Right.
Yikes.
More than nerves.
There's a reason. Yeah.
I mean, Wow, that's what's so difficult. It's such an argument. And what I'm going to try my hardest to do is not be biased towards an incredible performance I don't want to be so empathetic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
I mean, I don't want to feel bad for OJ when I'm watching all of these things and all I'm thinking about. Remember, I was like, should we talk about crime of passion? Should we, you know what I'm saying? Things like that to justify this situation. When no, that's not how it is.
Nor was it his defense.
It wasn't at all.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
He said, I didn't do it.
Right.
100% not guilty, right?
Now let's talk about OJ and his relationship. So this is back in the 90s. He's this huge football star. Everybody loves him. He has pool parties on Saturdays. He plays tennis with LAPD.
Right.
So here's this guy that's so loved.
The juice. We're the talking juice. About the juice
the juice,
at this
yeah.
point.
Wow.
The movies he did. What was the
Naked Gun.
The Naked Gun. And so you have, when he first gets questioned by the cops, and how his answers were so, I think I was there at 6, or maybe it was 7, 8. Mm-hmm. It was...
You see the adoration almost, as long as you give me something, let's get this down on paper.
It just boggles my mind that something like that could happen. Mm-hmm. You know, celebrity or not, you get the questions, get the answers. Right. Like, you know,
and the way he giggles a lot of it too.
Yeah, I think he just had a close relationship with them. So I think in their mind, there's no way he did this. Mm-hmm. We have to do this for procedure.
Well, but they already saw the blood on the Bronco. So right from before they ever talked to him, they found the blood on the Bronco. There was a lot of the glove behind the house.
But what I hadn't realized was that they had called him and he was in Chicago. So night that they're investigating this, he's in another city.
Right.
So to me, they probably are thinking he can give us some information and some insight, but he's probably not the one who did this.
Right. The interview, did they do an interview over the phone? Because when Marsha Clark was listening to the tape, she listening to a tape that was done?
That was when he came in.
So they had already seen all that stuff. So for them to not go after those questions was wrong. However, it's easy to be a backseat driver and say, in retrospect, boy, they should have really pinned him down.
Yeah.
I feel it felt to me that they didn't think he did it for a while. It was like until the moment they charged him, it felt like they were all like, he probably didn't do this.
Mm-hmm. It can't be the juice that did this.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That kind of mentality.
Everyone has that, you know?
Yeah. I kind of disagree. I think that they believed that he did it, they thought that he did it, and they were
but it
just
was easy to forgive almost.
And it was easy to be awestruck by who he was.
Yes.
And they were trying to deal with that because ultimately they also had to deal with the problem of his money. Right. Are they going to get some sort of a countersuit? I don't know. You're the lawyer.
I mean, what? That's like. I wish I knew football better. I was who's Jessica Simpson's ex-husband that's a football player that's famous?
Tony Romo?
No, it's Eric. Oh. What's his name? I forget.
Okay, never mind. Not him. I'm trying to think of a football player that we all know that's
Tom
famous
Brady.
Now. Tom Brady, thank you.
Go Pat.
That's like Tom Brady. We hearing that about him, we're like, no.
Just no way.
No.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, right.
And if he's in another city when it happened, he definitely didn't do it.
Football was an issue.
Well, you know what's a great metaphor is Donald Trump right now in the press. When you look at how much media attention he has, the celebrity that he has, that he's being taken seriously as a presidential candidate simply because of the celebrity. You notice there's celebrity treatment with celebrity. Yeah.
And I think at the time, OJ was more universally loved.
Absolutely.
Other than Trump.
Yeah. Do you think the cops had in the back of their mind, this is a celebrity. Anything that we do, the media is going
scrutinize.
To...
Scrutinize.
Yes.
Yeah. I think they were also trying to ignore it, too. I mean, that cop, when he got off the phone, he was... It wasn't as if he accused him. He was just more disappointed for him not telling him or not being...
Asking why. How she died, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it still felt like he probably didn't do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, I think that's where they kind of got backed up in that whole celebrity mind game of just... It catches you up. You ignore what is in your face.
You know what what I believe that they were thinking was... What if he didn't do it, and how can we get ourselves into trouble if he didn't? Because the evidence was all pointing to it. I mean, like later on, we know that Mark Furman was held to account. You know, they said that he had planted this maybe or that maybe, but you know, unless that was the case, they had plenty of evidence, and that's what pissed Marsha Clark off because she was looking at it going, This is shut.
Yeah.
This we got everything. We got the DNA. It's his DNA. It's on his car. The gloves behind his house. Everything was adding up to say he did it.
Yeah, I think we're going to see some interesting stuff later on because I don't see how it unravels given what we've seen so far.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about OJ and Rob Kardashian.
Yeah.
Their relationship, best of friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Their ex-wives, best of friends.
It pisses me off a little bit, excuse me, that I... for a moment felt as if I knew him because of the Kardashians, you know, because of the show, of the story.
Yeah, it's not crazy.
Right. So I'm trying to tell myself, don't be that person, watch the show for what it is. But it was really emotional to see. And because I know of their dynamic now as a family, I can see and imagine how close they were with OJ Simpson and Nicole. you know, especially if they were both going through the same thing at the same time when Rob left Chris and he verbalizes that, oh, this man was there for me during my divorce and vice versa when that happened. And, you know, married couples, they understand marriages and so they keep a lot of things secretive and it's really hard to know that he was capable of doing it, but you refuse to ever say that.
There were rumors for a while, and I don't know, I mean, I'm not a rumor person, but that OJ might be the father of Khloe or one of the Kardashians at one point, because Kim had some wild years, she said. So
Chris.
Yeah. Sorry, Kim has had her wild years, but they've been closer to now. But sorry, Kim, love you. But yeah, so they were close. This was a close relationship that the families had. The one part that I didn't realize was that that Robert Kardashian wasn't practicing as a lawyer.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know that either.
And that's one thing I'll say, like, you know that they're close friends when you reactivate your law license to then just be on the legal team to make sure that your friend gets off.
Right.
So that's it's a big deal if you're not practicing, especially now that you really must think he's innocent if you're reactivating your law license to go defend him.
And Robert did look, I mean, as he was portrayed, really perceived him to be innocent. Yeah. He was like, he couldn't have done this. Either that or he was in such denial that he was attempting to convince himself.
Right. They were very good about showing you the doubts creep into his head.
Yeah, exactly. Right? After the polygraph, the shock in his face, like, no, this can't be true.
I mean, Shapiro was really good at reeling him in for it. He was smart. That was a really good move, I think, because you need someone who more or less is going to look more genuine than OJ is now.
And someone who knows him well enough to provide a good defense. What would OJ do if he were innocent or guilty?
Right.
Shapiro rode the line of what the law is meant to do because everybody deserves a legal defense. It's, you know, it's not necessary. It's built to help him get the best outcome from what it was that it could possibly be. What I thought was interesting was when they were talking about opening scene, John Travolta, he's in a restaurant and he's talking about Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
And Dag Drolet, and you guys probably wouldn't remember, Dag Drolet was the boyfriend of Marlon Brando's daughter, who I met years ago in Tahiti, believe it or not. Because Marlon Brando has an island in Tahiti. And Dag Drolet was killed by Marlon Brando's son. So it was the boyfriend of the daughter that was killed. He was shot, and Marlon Brando got some sort of a plea bargain or something to get him 5 years. That was how it opened up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it just went from there to one after another of the name dropping and all of that type of stuff that was going on. He's a sharp lawyer, Shapiro, but then Cochran comes out and he says, well, he goes after the plea bargain.
Yeah.
He's not the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're gonna see that.
I thought the best part of that scene was you have an important phone call, you have to get up and get it. And I thought to myself, yeah, cell phones weren't really like as commonplace as they are now. And you wonder if they were, would the real killer have texted someone about it? Would you be able to pull OJ's records and find out if he was guilty or not guilty? But you just didn't have that kind of.
Oh my
God.
How did OJ know that he was at that restaurant? Yeah. My question.
That's what's so crazy is because you kind of learn how to find people. And what I didn't realize, Los Angeles is as large as it may seem on the big screen, it's
tiny.
It's tiny.
Yeah. They didn't have GPS tracking and cell phones back then.
They didn't have GPS tracking. And I've always looked at this city as a private high school, you know? For those of us who move here to become actors and actresses, we're freshmen. And then there's literally your sophomores, your juniors, and your seniors. And your seniors are the ones that rule, right? Until they become something more than that. And it just cracks me up because I compare it to high school because as adults, that is how everyone treats everything, you know?
Very true.
So it's just, it's crazy to me for them to be able to, you know, find Shapiro at this one place, and for him to have this meeting, and for all of them to know each other as well as they do.
You know what fascinates
me?
I'm
crazy.
No, you were just about to say something, but I'll just throw this in quickly. What fascinates me about Shapiro, I went in there about a business issue that I have, and he said, and I sat down with him, and he said, "What do you want?" And I said, "I want justice." And he said, "Well,
the best way is
he says, "You're not going to get that."
Mm-hmm.
He says, "That's not what we do.
We sue
people."
Yeah.
So you're not coming here for justice. If you're coming here, it's because you want to sue somebody. And I remember I was walking out of the office, and as I was walking out, I said, "Was there ever? What did I say? I said, when did you stop believing?" And he just looked at me and didn't say another word, and then put me in the elevator. I got a nice email from him yesterday, but yeah, it was like, okay, when did you stop believing that? I thought, did I just say that to him? Right. As I'm going down the elevator.
I mean, love it. Looking at it, even in the scene, I it was almost as if it was the moment he asked him the question initially.
Yeah.
Did you do it?
Did you do it?
Did you do it?
So,
but the response.
Yeah.
What was the response?
His response was no, I loved her.
I loved her, which was extra words.
Yes.
And which wasn't the answer to the question. And if you look
at that's exactly what I said. Yes. Stephanie said, like, he didn't answer the question.
Mm-hmm. Well, he said no.
He says no. But he does say no. But to follow with the I loved her
is extra words.
It's extra words, and it would have been comforting as a lawyer for him to be like, no, I did not murder her.
Yeah.
Right. I did not do it.
Yeah.
No, I loved her. Are you saying no to what I asked you? Are you saying no because it doesn't make sense in your own head because you loved her also? Yeah.
And that's the way to lie. Like with the Secret Service teaches lie detection, what they look for, one of the things that they look for is extra words like that or anything that's out of the ordinary rather than just saying no.
Yeah.
I loved her gives him the out because then, as you're saying...
Right, honestly, for me, it was a motive for this.
It's looking for what he can be honest about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you do it? No, I loved her gives him the...
Something
he can believe. Yes, there you go.
Exactly.
Give him certainty.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm going to give him a pass on that for now. All right. I love your sounds like some good statements.
Right. No, but these are the, in a case like this, it's like these are the things that you have to focus in on.
Yeah,
you
know? Absolutely.
And then
it's like 100% not guilty.
Money is the only way to get justice, is one of the lines that the gentleman said as well.
Yeah, that was one of those money, one-liners that you liked.
Which,
yeah.
Which I feel like I wonder if they put that in there because they kind of know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And I caught a couple glances of OJ giving those sort of suspicious looks. I'm wondering if they're trying to make us
kind of lean one way.
They are doing that, aren't they? I thought they did a really good job of
being neutral, but the body language, when he's in the hotel room, they ask him that question, and the way he sits on the bed, kind of like huddled.
Reflecting.
And, yeah. And
I like, wrote, kind I'm of like.
Crying a little bit. I'm like, that looks like a guilty person.
Exactly.
And I feel like they did that on purpose.
Well, right. They must have done it on purpose. And then you have to ask, where does the portrayal move away from what we know to be fact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know there's certain facts. We don't know how he moved. We don't know what kind of look he had, the grimace on his face. Mm-hmm. We don't know that stuff.
I think it'll be so telling in the coming episodes because I thought they could have made him look more guilty and they didn't. So that was good. So it felt like they were trying to strike a balance, but they had those little moments where you're like,
yes. I think that if they were able to create that moment off of the initial phone call.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what they did. They imagined what would that kind of reaction look like in person.
Exactly. Are you talking about the phone call when they called him in Chicago?
Yes.
That's the other one that was one of those things that stood out. Was they
body
said
language on the bed.
No, because they asked him, or no, they said, she's been killed.
Yeah.
He said, she's been killed. They said yes.
Yeah. He didn't
and
ask
then
how.
He said, not only did he not ask how, then he said, is she dead?
Right.
After.
That,
you know what? I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
She's been killed. Yes, she's been killed. Is she dead?
Yeah, I was confused when I even heard that. Too.
I was very confused, but I thought he's in shock.
Yes,
that was my thought.
It's a valid thought,
right? And I know that the second thought in that would be he needs. But did it happen? Like, do you know what I'm saying? You know, there are situations where people...
What happened? What the hell happened?
That they think they killed someone, but they didn't.
What are you talking about? You know, it's like...
Yeah. You think about what you would say in that case, but we'll never have to deal with that. But
I think the tough part is you just don't know what it would be like to be in those kind of circumstances.
Exactly.
Because there's just so far afield of anything normal that you would ever be in.
Exactly. Mm. So we have this awesome defense team led by... Robert Shapiro, we have Robert Kardashian, we have Johnny Cochran.
Do we have him already?
We don't have him yet.
Oh, he hasn't come on board yet.
Sorry. I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah.
But
he was introduced.
Introduced. Yes. We have the prosecution.
Yeah.
Led by Marcia Clark. She wanted that case all
to
herself.
She's a fireball, though. I love where she's coming from.
Well, first of all, who even knew who Bill was? I had no idea there was a Bill.
I didn't know. I was assuming. I'm like, is it that guy with the red hair?
Well, I feel like that was a perfect... I feel like the show does exactly. It was 1994. You know, women may have not been the most respected at that time. So I like that they let us know a little bit of where she stood as far as them saying, we're going to go ahead and put a man with you on this case.
You reckon that was
it's
it?
It's so crazy.
A little bit. Yeah. I think I did.
I didn't look at it that way.
Because Bill didn't seem, Bill had nothing to say, and she looked angry right away. And
seemed
she
a little sloppy.
She had to confirm to him.
Sorry, Bill.
I know you know that I didn't want you on this case, but I'm glad I had you.
Right. Yeah.
You know, mind you, she's driving it, but it's as if they needed her to be taken serious as well, and it wasn't going to happen unless she had a man doing the research with her.
Yeah. I absolutely agree with that. There was a shot where they showed Bill's face, and it kind of looked like he was like, I guess I'm with you.
Lucky me.
He doesn't exactly.
Yeah, I came up on this case. Yeah.
What's worse than that is what they're making Chris Darden to look like, because he's looking like a lazy guy that was ready to quit, and we know he's coming up in a future episode, and looking up as a sycophant, looking up to Johnny Cochran as God, mm-hmm. and he's about to join her team in a little while.
I want to go ahead and talk about two things that was said during those scenes that we saw. One of the first one was, you see how Johnny feels as far as when he mentions how many black folks get shot from behind while they're getting attacked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, one like look into what's going on during society. The second one is right before he says the world needs more black men to make a difference is when Chris Darden is a little bit scared, but mind you, even in a judicial system, I'm not a black man, so I don't know this, but I could only imagine being even scared to get involved with something like that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it was when those lines were uttered, I was like, yeah. It immediately put me in that state of what people must have been like
before
the trial.
Because I'm going,
I don't see that, brother.
Yeah. but just thinking of these statements are true. Yeah, like this is crazy. And then the mindset of people before they went into the OJ trial, mm-hmm. of course you want to see this guy free. Like, he's not only is he a black man and we feel like we've been oppressed, but he's a celebrity and he's like, we already love him, you know?
And if when the whole Rodney King thing went down, they beat the crap out of that man. Mm-hmm. The police were wrong to the
absolutely
umpteenth
wrong.
Degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there was a desire for revenge.
Some
otherwise,
sort of justice
would,
in another
some
way.
Sort of justice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. So the evidence starts slowly coming in.
Yes.
We see the blood was found on the path leading to the house.
Yes.
It was on the Ford Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
His blood type, now we don't know if it's his blood for sure, but his blood type was found at the crime scene on Bundy. These things start coming in. Jill, what was her name, the girl that got... Jill Shively saw him driving around 10 p.m.
Screeched through a red light.
Yeah. So these little things are starting to come through.
You can't be doing stuff like that in Brentwood. People are going to remember and see.
But,
you
know?
Especially
you
when you're OJ.
Yeah. And especially when you just killed somebody, right? Oh, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I can't come to judgment too soon here.
I mean, but that's where it's at. And if you live in a community, first of all, everyone knows that he lived there. If you're in Brentwood, you know who lives in Brentwood. Mm-hmm. So it was just, it's so easy for anyone to be able to identify him.
Mm-hmm.
But how scary. I mean, I don't know. I almost want to say he's lucky it happened when it did. But that's it.
Yeah.
Who knows what happened again? Like I said, yeah.
And we're planting the seeds already because we've seen, you know, Mark Furman shows up. Mark Furman, later on, we know what's, or at least, you know, we know what's coming from historically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the one who first sees the blood in the Bronco. He's the one that finds the glove behind mm-hmm. the house. You know, he's the one. And
innocent or guilty, I think you're right. OJ is very lucky that it happened in that time place, because I think if it didn't, if this were a case where he was innocent and it wasn't in that time frame, mm-hmm. he could have very well gone to jail.
Absolutely.
And that's that sense that they were setting up for you, is that there was that kind of disparity and injustice where if this person was in fact innocent, they were going to make sure that this person did not go to jail.
Right. I feel like Chris's character is what showed me or made me feel how scary it must be to know, and I'm talking about Rodney King's case, to know how right you were and to have nothing being done about it.
Exactly.
This far along in history, after we've been told what tolerance is and what we need to have in our community, but it was still done in front of your eyes.
Right.
Yeah.
Meaning, why, if and I don't look it, but I'm Latina, but like there's been plenty of times where, you know, I've had to hear things and like why wouldn't you be scared?
Yeah.
You know, where people's opinions have changed about me the second I found out, you know, so it's just scary to even be involved in something like that, because you may have had like, look, this is, it's right here, and they said no. They were like, sorry, we're going to take care of this side instead. And I don't know. Why would you want to get involved?
See, I go right back to the Making of a Murderer right now that's coming. You know, most of us have watched on Netflix. If you haven't, you should watch that too, because there's parallels with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the guys on that one, it's poverty. So these guys are living in abject poverty. They don't have a whole lot of money, although they own a garage. You'd think they'd have some money from that. But they've got nothing. The police, the town, they don't like them already. And they, for them, it's done. They're going to jail one way or the other.
Exactly.
And for OJ, he's rich.
Yep. And I'll say, despite racial concerns, the money divide is always huge when it comes
to litigation.
It's
another form of segregation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So winding down to the end of the episode, he goes to the funeral.
Which
all
I
this
had
evidence
no idea,
is coming, you know, out into the light, and he still attends with Robert Shapiro.
Yeah. One of the journalists.
Her family's not happy about it. Like, how dare he show up? Mm-hmm. That moment with him and Nicole in the casket just gave me
shivers.
Didn't
feel right.
It was perverse.
A little bit.
Except that's what you should do if your wife has just been murdered.
Exactly.
You're supposed to go to the funeral.
It's the mother of his children. Absolutely.
You're supposed to go to the funeral.
And kiss her on the forehead. And
you're supposed to do
those things. It looked like Denise Brown was standing with Kim Goldman, it looked like. Yeah. And
the worst part was, I thought, seeing the... You could kind of see there was something covering
the
neck.
She had to have a neck brace so that they covered
it really,
the scar.
Yeah, it underscored the gruesomeness.
Brutality.
Yeah.
Listen, I think we saw nothing compared to the real crime scene photos, because from what I've heard, they're horrific.
Yeah. And then we have a little preview of Kris Jenner, finally, and her crying and talking. And I just want to point out that, you know, women, we vent.
Yeah.
And especially when you can't talk to most people about it, it must have been really awful to... they probably know so much more than ever what was let out, but then to see that happen and like for one of them to say, like, you know, she was terrified of him.
Yeah, and it's you almost have a sense of guilt. Is I knew that this abuse was happening. Should I have said something? Should I have done something more? Maybe this wouldn't have happened. Like, did she feel guilty about it?
Mm-hmm.
It was 8 times we said the police were out there.
Yeah,
she had been beaten by him. There was evidence of it. He had broke a window with a car window with a baseball bat.
It's that hindsight.
It's the hindsight.
Like, and the fine line between domestic violence and like what happens between a private household.
Because there's 8 times, but over several years. And then do you know if it was the same police that responded? Probably not. And you know, with anyone looking back to say, here are all these incidents, and I don't think they were.
Well,
at the
it
time.
Was. It was actually Mark Furman was one of the people that responded. That's why he knew where OJ's house was.
Yeah, but to one of them, I just don't know if they respond to all 8, you know.
Yeah.
So you're
right.
Yeah.
And then the end, we obviously have him in his meltdown. He writes his will. He's writing these letters to his fans and his family. I think next episode we're going to see it kind of pick up from there.
What do you think about that, though? A gun at your head, writing your will. Do you do that if you're not guilty?
I didn't recall how unstable he was.
Right.
He was popping pills Pez candy.
Would you do that? Yeah, I think so if you're not guilty.
So
I think it's quite possible you might want to kill yourself if your ex-wife, the mother of your children, has been murdered and they think you did it and you're innocent.
Right.
I think you might just want to kill yourself.
Right. I mean, I think it could go either way. You could either convince yourself that you're innocent when you're not, or you can be innocent and convince yourself that you're guilty, as Homeboy did in that show that you guys are doing.
Yeah,
Making of
a
Murderer.
Sorry for saying it the way that I did.
It's okay.
Homeboy. Because I don't watch it, but I'm saying the mind works in different ways.
And I could only imagine if you're legitimately innocent and your ex-wife just been murdered, you
and
just
your
see your
blood's
kids.
There and everything.
And now people are just media's frenzy, and people think you did it.
Right. And you're about to go to jail?
And you're
I would think, though, that guy's ego was so pumped up that he would think that nothing could touch him, whether the police were there or not. I have a hard time believing it. And remember, his thinking was not going to... the wife of what happened to the wife? Who the hell did this?
He did refer himself to the third person a couple of times during this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The juice.
It kind of gave you a little insight to the possible ego. Yeah.
I can't wait for next episode. Let's quickly get into news and gossip real quick. I have just a couple of things I want to touch on.
AfterBuzz TV news
and gossip.
So today is February 2nd, 2016.
Yes.
Obviously. O.J. Simpson and Nicole actually got married February 2nd, 1985. So today is kind of a special day for this whole story. Sarah Paulson, who plays Marcia Clark, she was actually filming American Horror Story at the same time as this show.
Brilliant.
So at nighttime, she would dress up as Hypodermic Sally on American Horror Story, which was this druggy, creepy, I mean, blood all over her, needles. And then in the morning, she would take it all off, go on to set, and she was Marsha Clark, so she was doing this huge simultaneous role. So
it has to be such an emotional,
mental. Yeah. She might need some psychiatric
and treatment. I'll tell you what, from her portrayal, like I'm a fan of Marsha Clark right now. I think she's a fireball, and mm-hmm. you know, I'm a big fan now.
And speaking of Marsha Clark, the real Marsha Clark, a little interview about this, she said that it was absolutely awful for her to watch this. She watched the first episode at least.
Oh yeah.
She didn't want to relive it. The whole trial was a nightmare. She just was dreading the entire series.
As an attorney, Marsha Clark is kind of held up as the attorney that you don't want to be. You know? So I can only imagine for her.
Right. So that's it, guys. That's our story. Our story.
Our story. That's our story. We're sticking to it.
Yeah. Where can everybody find you guys on social media?
Yeah, again, Shaka Strong. Love to hear your comments and your questions.
And you can find me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie and on Instagram at TheStephanieGeorgie.
Chris Howard Live at Twitter and LegendaryLivingDaily.com.
Awesome. And you can find me on all social media at Pegarad. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.